the implementation of the National Strategic Plan on Gender and Violence and Femicide and the work of the Ministerial Task Team on GBV, on policy framework and its implementation to address the GBVF in the post-school education and training sector, and budget allocation by both DHET and PSET institutions towards GBV-related activities, or rather interventions. Members are kindly to note that the briefing that was scheduled for the 15th of September has been moved up to the 8th of September from the CGE and the department on the above-mentioned matters. That being said, honourable members, kindly note that this morning we'll be receiving a briefing from the Department of Higher Education and the Department of Science and Innovation on the fourth quarter performance report of 2020-2021 and the first quarter performance report of 2021-2022. Before we start with those particular briefings, we must acknowledge the apologies of the Minister Nzimande and DG Mdwaga, as they will be appearing before the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. Perhaps we should also acknowledge the apology of Honourable Lochiet and Honourable King, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if Honourable Makesi then is here, but yeah, okay, so we'll note those two apologies. And I want to assume, I'd just like clarity, I've been notified of the fact that DDG Imran Patel will be leading the delegation. I'm not sure if that's for both departments or if that's only for science and innovation or if Ms. Gatha is leading the delegation for DHET. So can I have clarity with regard to who's leading which delegations or if there's one leader of both departments this morning? So can we just have clarity on that before we continue? Ms. Gatha, you may go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Am I visible and audible?
Yes, you are.
Good morning. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Norwazi Gatha. I am leading the DHET delegation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gatha. Mr. Patel, I then assume you're leading the DSI delegation.
Thanks, and good morning to the Chair and Honourable Members. Yes, that's the case.
Okay. I think DG Mdwaga, when he sent his apology, he forgot that he's acting also on DHET, so we would have appreciated an indication of which delegation Mr. Patel is exactly leading, but I think we are all clear now. So Ms. Gatha will be leading the delegation from DHET and Mr. Patel the delegation from DSI. Honourable members and colleagues, it's been 2 months since we engaged with both these departments, as we have been on a very crucial part of the work of Members of Parliament, which is our constituency work, during a two-month sort of constituency period. And I must say it's good to be back, and we hope colleagues have been well during these difficult times. I'll then hand over to the DSI to begin with its presentation. It's quarter to, it's quarter past nine now. So I think 45 minutes could do for the input from the DSI. So if you can try and do it in 45 minutes, that would be much appreciated. So I think having said that, so I just want to check one or two things. Yes. So having said that, I think we can hand over to DDG Patel. Thanks, DDG.
Once again, good morning to you, Chair, and to the honourable members of the committee. I am joined on the call by a number of colleagues. There's DDG Dan Du Toit, who's our DDG for International Cooperation, DDG Mukwena, who's our the responsible for corporate services, DDG Zwane, who's our DDG responsible for institutional planning and support, Robert Shaku, who's our CFO, And I don't know if there's any representation, I don't see, from our program two colleagues. But if I've missed anyone, I'll just ask them to introduce. And then we have colleagues from our planning section attending. The presentation, I'm definitely sure we will be able to keep to the 45-minute limit. In fact, we might be able to do it quicker than that. Will be shared by two colleagues. The first part of the presentation will be done by DDG Zwane, who I think was introduced to the committee in June. In fact, she started her tenure at DSI, I'm told, with a portfolio committee hearing. She joined us in early June. So she will take the presentation in terms of the highlights, our quarter one and quarter four performance. And then the acting CFO, Robert Charko, will deal with the finances for both quarters. So without further ado, I'm not too sure if the Secretariat is going to be putting up the presentation or we need to do it on our side. But then I would like to call on DDG Zwane. Oh, she's viewing it. If you can do the presentation mode and get the button, that would be good. So without further ado, DDG Zwane, can you take the members through our performance for quarter four and quarter one?
Good morning, honorable chair, and good morning, honorable members. I would be taking you through the performance information for quarter four of 2021-22. And also quarter four of 2020-2021, and also quarter one of 2021-2022, and then hand over to Robert, the CFO, to continue with the presentation. We will continue with the same presentation. He will just talk through as I take him through the slides. Thank you. Moving on, this is our presentation outline. We will just do a bit of a recap in terms of our vision and mission, our outcome goals, and then do performance highlights that we are featuring under each outcome goal, and also the overall performance. We will show graphs in terms of Q4 and Q1, and also show performance per program, and then the financial performance. As a start then, Chair, our vision is increased well-being and prosperity through science, technology and innovation. As our mission, we continue to provide leadership and enabling environment and resources for science, technology and innovation in support of South Africa's development. These are our six outcome goals, which are a transformed, inclusive, responsive, coordinated and efficient NSI, human capabilities and skills for the economy and for development, increased knowledge generation and innovation outputs, knowledge utilization for economic and inclusive development, innovation in support of a capable and developmental state. For the highlights for the year, we are under a transformed, inclusive, responsive, coordinated and efficient NSI outcome goals. We are highlighting the decadal plan, the journey of the decadal plan, which was approved by Cabinet on the 24th of March 2021. We are also highlighting the fact that Cabinet said this would be one of the master plans of government, and then also endorsing that we do interdepartmental consultations on the decadal plan with cross-cutting NSI departments. Also in principle that we had an agreement with National Treasury that a public science, technology and innovation budget coordination mechanism would be integrated into the MTEC processes going forward. Under the
the outcome goal of human capability and skills for the economic for economy and development under the NRF and DFI programs. These were the master's, PhD awarded and also intense absorbed within the national system of innovation. We would notice that of the number of beneficiaries, quite a substantial number was Black and also women. We do acknowledge, Honorable Chair, that we are under a process of developing a transformation framework where we are addressing the issues that you had also raised the last time. Next time when we report, we would have a better matrix where we are addressing that within the women that have benefited, how many of those are Black versus white women, covering intersectionality and also the demographic, other demographics such as people with disabilities. So that is noted and we are in work in progress. In terms of the National Development Plan, our target was that we would want to have 100 PhDs per million population by 2030. Also going forward, we are going to be focusing more on people with disabilities as part of the transformation drive. We also hosted monthly webinars under the name of the SAWISA, which is the South African Women in Science Awards, partnering with ASAF. From ASAF, we bought the Organization for Women in Science for the Developing World, South African National Chapter, Black Women in Science, and Nkatsuto Edupropela. These webinars had 663 participants. Continuing with human capabilities and skills for economic development, there was a pilot training for TVET students in the fuel cell sector in partnership with the energy and water sector, the Department of Higher Education and private sector. We commenced with a study on the role of the TVET College sector in producing the future green artisans and technicians for the hydrogen economy. And also the terms of reference for the study, which is funded through the UK PET program, was endorsed by industry companies. These companies are also likely to be the future employees of the graduates in the program. The study is expected to be completed before the end of quarter three of the current financial year. Within the outcome goal of increased knowledge generation and innovation, to maintain the increase, the relative contribution of South African researchers to global scientific and innovation outputs, we had 8,950 research articles published that were DFI NRF funded and also cited in the Web of Science Citation Database. Research grants, 3,000 were awarded through the DFI NRF program again, 49% of which were Black and 46% were Black women. 30 research infrastructure grants were awarded through the DFI NRF and the South African Research Infrastructure Roadmap. Within the National Intellectual Property Management Office, the extension of the reach of the NIPMO IPY sessions to technical and vocational education and training to the colleges around the country. This was done with the Sibande where it was completed and the IP awareness campaign is continuing with other TVET colleges moving forward. The three-year internship program that focuses on developing data-driven artificial intelligence was supported. This is also work that is done with DHET. And the knowledge utilization for economic development, We funded the biorefinery research, development and innovation consortium, which is in partnership with the CSIR, BITS and Tshwane University of Technology. The DSI through the SIP program granted a patent for the novel xylanase enzyme formulation with commercial application in the animal feed additive industry. This is the revitalization of the agricultural sector. And as far as the agricultural bioeconomy innovation partnership is concerned, a number of initiatives were supported, where 187 farmers were trained on the agronomic practices of planting pulses. We also supported the bilateral research program with Malawi, which looks at aquaculture, health, and feed programs. And knowledge utilization for economic development continued. Technology localization, beneficiation, and advancement manufacturing. A number of instruments were funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and research and development-led industry development in aerospace, advanced manufacturing, chemicals, mining, advanced metals, and ICTs, industry innovation program, and the sector innovation fund. In response to the COVID-19, the Titanium Center of Competency initiated three projects, which are on manufacturing ultraviolet lamps for germicide and disinfection, hospital beds, and face shields. These were a handheld lamp device that is being considered as a CSIR technology demonstrator. Sufficient funding for the establishment of the world-class sports isostatic was secured, and there was also a commitment from the CSIR on additional funding for the refurbishment of the building and utilities for the housing of the facility. In terms of health innovation initiatives, indigenous knowledge-based COVID-19 research team has made excellent progress in investigation of herbal medicines against COVID-19. We have a mass herbal formulation, namely products Kabinde, Kila, and a mono herbal ingredient coded BD01, have demonstrated good activity against the SARS and the viruses. Pella formulation has demonstrated an outstanding intracellular activity against the SARS-CoV-2 without any cytotoxicity. There is still further work that is being done with the University of Free State in collaboration with farmers. This work is also being conducted in collaboration with the Beijing University in China as a collaborating research partner. The pillar clinical trial protocol was developed and sent to two international regulators, which is also work in progress, including a submission to SAHPRA for approval. Continuing with the health innovation is just going into detail in terms of the other initiatives, product Kabinde, and its demonstration against the SARS-CoV-2, and without necessarily going into the details there, but the study was done with UKZN and the University of Pretoria in collaboration with the Wistar Institute in the USA, as well as the University of Basel in Switzerland. Under the innovation in support of the capable and developmental state, the DSI has developed a decision support tools and information management system to provide policy and decision makers with relevant space-derived spatial information and tools to support evidence-based decisions in their efforts to deliver services better in the lives of all South Africans. The DFI, as well as the Department of Forestry, of Environment, Forest and Fisheries, supported the CSIR and the South African National Space Agency in their development of the National Oceans and Coast Information Management System and acquisition of synthetic aperture radar and data set for the maritime domain awareness under the Oceans Economy banner. Continuing with the decision support tools, the other one is the Vegetation Condition Index to support the National Integrated Water Information System, drought status information, also working with the South African National Space Agency. The other one is water volume, a monthly water quantity data for Mzansi Amanzi National Water Quantity Information Service is currently being distributed to the Department of Water and Sanitation. Moving on, also the supporting fire investigations and illegal irrigation investigations, where the fire investigations are often used as evidence for insurance claims or disputed claims, which often result in court cases. An irrigation investigation is based on the Wastewater Act of 1998 and provides evidence to support legal processes at the Water Tribunal. In terms of our contributions or initiatives towards the district development model, the district development model, science and technology, innovation, strengthen capacity at local municipality level there, thereby contributing to local economic development through data observatory, which is engaging lead departments for an observatory to enable real-time access to district development model information. Also quite critical for evidence-informed decision-making. Also the deployment of the Municipal Innovation Maturity Index, harness solutions for development from DSINT for the district development model, and also the DSI DDM project information was submitted to PROCTA for planning purposes. Now moving on, Honorable Chair and members, to the performance overview. This is the performance for quarter four of the 2020-2021 financial year. We achieved out of 50 targets, we achieved 37, which were 74%, and then we did not achieve 26% of the set targets. However, it is important to note that since this is a quarter four, this is quarter four results, which ends at, which is reported on the 31st of April. This is before, in some cases where the portfolio of evidence had been submitted, an audit has been done. So with the annual reports that is currently underway or being finalized, in some instances the results have changed and the percentage is higher than what it is now. This is breaking it down in terms of quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four of the financial year 2020-2021, where we see the performance gradually at 39%, 61%, 62%, and then 74%. This is quarter one of the current financial year. We have, out of the 30 performance targets, achieved 22. making it 73%, and then those that have not been achieved are 8, which is 27%. Sorry about that. Moving on. This is quarter one per program. Program one has achieved all its targets. Program two has achieved 60%. Program three, 86%. Program four, 63%. And then program five is sitting at 75%. We now move on to the targets that were not achieved, Honorable Chair. We are just here explaining the variance classification that you see in the tables that follow. In some instances, it's processed where we refer to non-achievement due to factors which are not within the control of the DSI, and therefore the achievement of such targets is mainly dependent on outside stakeholders. And then we go on to say that such targets would require the department to better manage the interdependent nature of the deliverables, which in turn affects our deliverables. Ineffectiveness of implementers referred to non-achievement due to deficiencies during the implementation phase, and what we would normally require to do is to better manage the planning around those targets to be aligned, especially with those of the entity targets, to ensure that they are working towards achieving a common goal. The third reason would be target formulation deficiencies, which means non-achievement due to variables which were not foreseen during the target formulation phase. These gaps can be addressed during the strategic planning processes of the following financial year as part of the lessons learned. So moving on, for quarter four of the previous financial year, these are the targets that were not achieved. Alignment of the strategic plans and annual performance plans of the DSI and its entities, including the DSI shareholder compared to the decadal plan. If you may allow me, Chair and honourable members, of the reasons for not achieving as a result of as a result of a work that was affected by COVID. The approval of the decadal plan by Cabinet on in March 2021, and also follow-up consultations approved by the Minister to refine the decadal plan deliverables is the progress that has been made. It was just a matter of process delays there. And then flight mode delivered and launched by 31 March 2021. Although the flight modes were delivered, they were not launched as expected, also as a result of COVID-19. We have the 20 assistant technicians trained here. Like I said when I was explaining earlier, that because this report goes up to the 30th of April of the financial year, this has since been sorted in terms of evidence being submitted and also updating of the achievement in certain instances. 25 trainees are skilled in IT management and technology transfer skills. There was none that were done. The event could only take place in May of this, or which was the next financial year or the current financial year. Moving on. 184 South African students participating in international training programs, we could only achieve 159 because we had fewer international partners reporting in the last quarter. The results reported in previous quarters contributed to the achievement of the annual target, which was, I think, a cumulative one. That is a target formulation in terms of classification. And also the following three targets, capacity building, we could only do eight, COVID restrictions, one engagement instead of five, two international STI initiatives instead of six, which were also all due to process delays. The last one is also as a result of evidence that had not been collected at the time, but this has since been updated. Moving on to the next slide, it is the same in terms of postgraduate students verification auditing stage, which has since has been sorted out. The minister's approval of the regulations under the Indigenous Knowledge Act, internal delays as well, the outputs were not achieved. In terms of
we have also shared how we perform in terms of paying of our suppliers. For the past financial year, our average spend was nine days as compared to the prior year, which was eight. So our average spend was also affected by the, you know, the COVID challenges that we had. Members will see. Next slide, please, DDG.
Lock me the fuck out.
Members will see that we, the other financial year, we did fairly well as far as paying off our suppliers. But if you look at the prior year, there were a few months that we didn't spend very good, 92%, 94%. Result of the COVID challenges. So next slide, please. That will be the performance for the fourth quarter. Now we'll be sharing performance for the first quarter of the current financial year. The current financial year's budget is 8.9 billion. We've put aside 358 million for compensation of employees, 108 million for goods and services transfer and subsidies, 8 billion, 383 million, payment for capital assets, 2.8 million. Next slide, please. The overall performance for the first quarter, with the government plan to spend 1.7 billion, we only spend 1.1 billion, which is, you know, which is 12% of the total budget that was of 8.9 billion. This translates to a variance of 593 million or 34.6% of the planned expenditure. So to address this significant underspending, we are currently in the process of adjusted estimates where we would like to move money from underperforming line items, the items that require funding. The process will be finalized in the next few weeks. And then we'll continue managing the budget to ensure that as we move along, those line items that are not spending, they indeed spend their budget. Next slide, please, DDG. As I've indicated, the spending is like this. We plan to spend 1.7, we spend 1.2 billion, and then our variance is 5.9%. Next slide, please, DDG. Our spending as per economic classification, for goods and for compensation, we plan to spend 89 million. We only spend 81 million, which is 9.3% variance. As members can see, our compensation is spending fairly well as compared to the prior. As I've indicated, that we are currently pushing in filling the positions, so we foresee compensation performing fairly well as compared to the prior this current year. Under goods and services, we put aside 58 million, We only spend 18 million. The goods and services is performing not good the current year, but during the adjusted estimates, we shift the money from this line item to other needy line items to ensure that at the end of the financial year, there is no significant underspend under this item. Under the transfers and subsidies, we put aside 1.566 billion. We only spend 1 billion, 21 million, which is quite, although it doesn't look that bad, but there's the quantum of this line item. If you don't spend their money, the quantum is quite significant. With regard to payment for capital assets, we put aside 888,000. We spend 1.1 billion. This line item is overspent as a result of some of the items that could not be paid last financial year, that were paid in the current financial year. They resulted in this item overspending in the quarter. As I've indicated, the variances are due to the delays in filling of positions, and also we are accelerating the filling of positions, as I've indicated before, that filled one, and then the other position that we are continuing to fill. The poor spending of goods and services, I've indicated, is as a result of COVID. Most of the meetings are held virtually. We are not traveling. And then some of the things that we wanted to do, like advertising, we couldn't finalize those. And then there were delays in payment of international membership, delays in finalization of agreement for R&D tax incentive systems. We shifted money from that line item to ensure that there's no significant underspend at the end of the financial year. Next slide, please, DDG. Under the transfers and subsidies, the process delays indicated by the DDG. We have introduced stringent measures in this line item. We want all our projects to spend 90% of their initial allocated funding before we can transfer any money. We do not want to encourage our entities or our implementing agent to hold a lot of money on their side, whereas the department requires funding. So we are speed strict now. If there is significant surpluses that were not spent in the prior years, we don't move money until the surpluses are significantly reduced. Next slide, please. The performance per program, as I've indicated, it's not that good. Administration, we plan to spend 84 million. We only spend 25 million. That's 56 million, which is a variant of 17%. This is quite the represent, which is quite significant. And then for technology innovation, we put aside 39 million. We only spend 230 million, which is 37.6%. For international corporations, we put aside 3 million. We only spend 18 million, which is 44% variance. For research and development and support, we put aside 748 million. We only spend 355 million, which is 45.2%. For socio-economic innovation partnerships, we put aside 578 million. We only spend 471 million, which is 20.3%. We have also some of the projects that the department, is currently having. What we have spent under health innovation in terms of how we have planned, we plan to spend 51 million. We couldn't spend. We've got 100% variance. HIV and AIDS prevention and treatment technologies, we put aside 8 million for that quarter. We couldn't spend. We do have 100% variance. IKS, we put aside 3.5 million for the quarter. We couldn't spend. We have 3.5 variance. And innovation projects, 80 million. We couldn't spend. We've got 100% variance. South African National Space Agency, we put 67 million, we spent the whole money. Space science, we put 17 million aside, we couldn't spend, which is 100% variance. TIA, we put aside 141 million, we spent the whole amount. Technology transfer offices support, we put aside 3 million, we only spent 1.5 million, which is 52.6% variance. Next slide, please. The reasons why the line items could not spend. Some most of them is administrative delays, business plans not being finalized. For example, under the HIV, which is envisaged to be finalized in this month, we envisage to see the money is moving in this month. But the innovation project was due to the money that was, you know, earmarked for space science center, which needed development before payments had been made. Next slide, please. Under program 4, we put amount for Academy of Science of South Africa, which is 8.3, we spent the whole amount. Astronomy, which is 4.9, we spent the whole amount. Development and support, which is 55 million, we spent the whole amount. Women and Social Development, we put aside 52 million, we won't spend the 8 million. National Research Foundation, we put aside 240 million, we spent the whole amount. Research and Development Infrastructure, we put aside 263 million, we couldn't spend the amount. Science Awareness, 29 million, we spent 16 million, we've got 55.8% variance. Strategic Science Platform, we put aside 2.5 million, we only spent 640,000, which is 25.6% variance. And next slide, please, DPG. Some of the reasons why we couldn't spend, we've indicated, you know, some of the payments were submitted late for processing. And as I've indicated, we are a bit strict. If we've got significant surpluses in an item, we don't move money. We want them to move money before we can transfer money. We do not want just to stamp money in our entities. So as a result, some of these projects did not move money because, as I've indicated, we are now being strict. We want to make sure that the money that they cannot spend, if need be, we reallocate it to needy priorities within the department. For the research and development infrastructure, we are finalizing the consolidation of the contract. As soon as the contract is finalized, the funds will be transferred to the entity. Next slide, please. For program 5, we put aside 244 for CSIR. We spent the whole amount. Environmental innovation, 21 million. We couldn't spend the amount. HSRC, we put aside 157 million. We spent the whole amount. Information communication technology, we put aside 31 million, we couldn't spend the whole amount. Innovation for inclusive development, we put aside 1 million, we spent 48 million. This is as a result of some of the challenges we had with that I indicated in the past financial year that under this program, there was an amount of money that we couldn't transfer as a result of administrative delays. So to ensure that the work continues in the entity, we use the budget for this year to pay for that. So for this quarter, although the matter is money, but for this quarter, we plan to spend one million. But because we wanted to close the gap, we spent the whole amount just to ensure that the work in the other side is going on. But this money now, we will be augmenting this through the adjusted estimate. We have identified money within the slow spending items within the department. So we'll be putting money to this line item. Local manufacturing, we put aside 32 million. We didn't spend that amount. Mining R&D, we put aside 63 million. We didn't spend the amount. Science and technology indicators, we put aside 50 million. We didn't spend the amount. Next slide, just DDG. Some have indicated this process delays, as DDG indicated. Like if you look at manufacturing capacity, finalizing of the personal plans, have indicated. And my mining R&D not spending 90%. Next slide, please. Spending on procurement, we spent only 8 million in this quarter. For SMEs, it was 3.8 million. For black-owned companies, 7 million. Women-owned companies, 3 million. And then youth-owned companies, 1 million. Percentage spent was 9.8% SMEs, 67% black-owned companies, 1.6% women-owned companies, and 14.2% youth-owned companies. Okay. Next slide. For COVID, we did not spend much for this quarter. We only spent 953,000 as far as procurement is concerned. Next slide, please, DBG. For payment to our suppliers, for this quarter we did fairly well. We managed to pay all the invoices we received within 30 days. We did not have the challenges we had like we had in the prior year. Next slide, please. Thanks. I think will be the last of my of my slide. Thanks, DDG. And thanks, members.
Do you want to type it for me?
Thanks, Chair. I think that concludes our presentation, and we will now take any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patel, and to the delegation from the DSI. Can I just start noting hands of members who would like to engage on the presentation? In the meantime, I think while I'm waiting for the hands of members to grow up, I will just make a few remarks. I think perhaps one should firstly, of course, reiterate the fact that the Portfolio Committee is pleased by, the approval of the Decadal Plan by Cabinet in March, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And perhaps just to move towards the developments that have been made thus far, I think what we would know is that the department has been in the process of consulting with various departments within government. And I think once the department has concluded with those internal interdepartmental consultations, we will then move into external consultations with various stakeholders, in the sector. And of course, I think the Portfolio Committee has stressed the importance of ensuring that we are as inclusive as possible when it comes to that particular process of consultations with external members. But I think what we would then want to reiterate is that this process is done as quickly as possible. And I think when we say quickly, we don't mean it shouldn't be done thoroughly. So we just hope that the department will be able to, move in terms of those consultations as efficiently as possible so that we can now then move on to our external consultations. And then perhaps one should also acknowledge the great work that the department continues to do with regards to the response to COVID-19. And I mean, not only the department, but its entities as well. Noting the work that the CSIR has been doing in accelerating the rollout of the vaccine, but also perhaps just acknowledge that there have been some strides that have been made in terms of our capacity as a country through the department to perhaps produce our own vaccine, and I think a lot of work is being done there with the mRNA vaccine and the work we could be doing to assist other developing countries and the continent at large. And if there's anything that Mr. Patel, together with the delegation, you'd like to speak to with regards to that and share with members, feel free to do so in your responses. Perhaps one should also just, noting that we've just come out of a very sadly moment in our democracy with the recent unrest that we just witnessed. It would be interesting to know if there's any work that the department's been doing in responding to that or in assisting in that particular process, in monitoring perhaps the triggers or the drivers of the unrest and what sort of mitigation and contingency plans could be put in place to ensure that something of that nature does not happen. Of course, a big part of it also speaks to the underlying, inequities in our society, socioeconomic inequities in our society. A lot of it also speaks to the social consciousness of our citizens as well. But and if I were to move to perhaps, I think, the fourth quarter performance report. So underspending within programs 2, 4, and 5, mainly due to the provision of insufficient supporting documents and contract delays, has been noted by the committee. With regard to supporting documents, were the entities not aware of what evidence was needed or needed to be provided? Alternatively, is there another explanation for the provision of insufficient documents? How could this be mitigated? going into the, how has this been mitigated in the current financial year going into the future? And then with regards to contract delays, what were the main factors that contributed to these delays and how is that being mitigated in the current financial year going into the future? Perhaps also on the department's vacancy rate, I think there was mention to the impact of the vacancy rate on other targets of the department under other programs of the department. Which posts will be given priority during the current recruitment process? The department CFO was seconded to the head during 2020-2021. What is the status of this secondment? What progress has been made with filling the post of DDG Program 4 for DDG Research Development and Support? If you were to take you then to the first quarter report, I only see Honorable Mananiso's hand. I hope other members will be raising their hands as well. Just going back perhaps to the remarks one made about the decadal plan, will there be an annual science, technology and innovation plenary this year? Has the Interministerial Cabinet Committee on the STI been appointed? If you can just provide clarity on that. And what progress has been made with aligning the department and its industry strategic and annual performance plan to the decadal plan? And then with regards to the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Act and its regulations, how has the consultation process for the regulations been approved? And if so, when will these consultations begin? And then relating to the targets not being met at the various centres, what progress can be reported in relation to the 5 IKS documentation centres whose data still needs to be synchronised to the National Record System Central Server? And where exactly are these centres that have not, the 5, that have not been able to synchronise their record system central server? And what are the issues pertaining to each centre? And how many of these have been resolved? So if you do have that data, please provide it in your responses. If not, I think you can then, you know, if there are the more intricate details that you need to then provide thereof, if you could just send that to the Secretariat of the Portfolio Committee, we'd appreciate that, also taking into consideration our time constraints. And then if I were to just look into slide 61 and 62, of your presentation, I think I also need to just open it. I think I see a bit of overlapping. I'd like to make my own assumptions, but you can just clarify that for us. I think on 61, it says that. So what I'm seeing from this is that some of the Black-owned businesses would be SMMEs. Some of the Black-owned companies would be woman-owned. Some of them would be youth-owned. So am I correct to assume that these particular institutions would then overlap one another? So you would have a young Black woman who would then fall under Black-owned, woman-owned, youth-owned. And then I'd just like to clarify on 62 that you only, in terms of COVID-19, the procurement opportunities under COVID-19, or service provision opportunities under COVID-19, all the companies were owned by Black women. That's what I'm understanding with the 953 falling under Black companies and women-owned companies. I think that's it from my side, but I think perhaps what we must also acknowledge is that I think on the COVID-19 procurement, if you look at quarter 4 and quarter 1 there's been great improvements with regards to that in terms of representation and ensuring that these opportunities are given to a diverse collective of South Africans. So I think that's it from my side. I then will note Honorable Mananiso and then members who will follow thereof. Thanks, Honorable Mananiso.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Let me start by as well welcome the presentations from the department, and I must say that in most of the issues that I heard, you have covered me the issue of consultation. I want to emphasize that we must make sure that we don't leave anyone behind when we do that process. And my other issue is with regards to issues of intersexuality and demographics. They are saying, because Mama Gasa said to us that they would improve in terms of the report regarding the metrics of transformation. So it is important to you guys that you must never leave this information. And because as members of parliament, this is one of the things that as a portfolio committee is being consistent on in terms of checking if departments are actually doing their part on the issue of transformation and inclusion of women and youth and people with disabilities. So I hope on this part you would improve as you have promised, Mama Gasa. Then on slide 17, the issue of district model. If you have a presentation in terms of where you will be piloting some of the programs, can you give us some highlights so that we can check if our constituencies are part of that particular process, and if not, is there any plan to actually touch all those districts when you do your pilot? The other question, Chair, is with regards to the picture that has been tabulated on the presentation on issues of targets not being achieved because of COVID. I just want to check if they have, as you said, mitigation or remedy to improve on this particular program so that they achieve their target. And I would want to just advise the department that perhaps they need to submit to us as the portfolio committee, maybe through the secretary, in terms of how have they planned to actually unfold other programs per priorities as they didn't achieve some of the targets. So that's what I want to suggest to them, to say perhaps after this meeting they just need to submit to us. So that come the next quarter, we are able to take stock from where they left moving forward. Lastly, Chair, I would want as well to acknowledge their work as the department in terms of ensuring that they are consistent in giving better services. This is the department that when you read their report, you don't see many discrepancies in terms of, for instance, opportunities for those who are benefiting from procurement and supply chain management. So we must keep on doing the good work so that the science and innovation and technology space is being occupied by everybody in terms of employment, development opportunities, and as well empowerment opportunities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mananiso. Honorable Litsie.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody, honorable members, team from the minister or the ministry, and then from the department of science and innovation, led by Dr. Patel, or led by South Africa, Imran Patel, and Imran Patel. And Megasa, I think, was the Ms. Zwane, also from the department. I think, Chair, let me start with an article, or maybe to acknowledge the presentation but maybe move on to an article that was posted on News 24 on the 10th of August, where the heading says documents implicate UJ officials involved in attempted embezzlement of millions in government funding. It goes on to say the money was from the Department of Science and Technology, IGC, as well as funding from UJ that went down the drain as senior UJ executive colluded to embezzle the intellectual property and main assets of photo voltaic technology intellectual property. So the question then would be can the DSI provide us with details of what happened there with this allegations there at UJ of millions of rands that may have been embezzled by some executives there. Move on to my second question. I think, Chair, you touched on it, but from a different angle. I think it's slide 64 or something, Chair, where you asked about on the procurement, PPE procurement, where normal standard practice of supply chain management will not have been followed in securing the quotations there. However, it's disturbing that even when you are not following normal standard supply chain processes, no woman and no youth were considered. 0%, 0%, 0 rands, 0 rands. Even when you know, my understanding, and I just want us to be as practical as possible. When you say you are not following the normal supply chain processes, meaning you are not advertising somewhere or anywhere, you are just picking up a call on all the suppliers on your database, and you decide to call, hey, can you give us a quote of X amount of sanitizers, and they bring a quote. So even when you do that, you have a problem. You still don't consider women. You still don't consider the youth. I mean, the previous slides, the youth I think were about 14%, and women I think at around 20-something%. And even when you not following standard supply chain procedures, you still overlook this component that was underutilized under normal supply chain processes. I think I have a problem, Chair, because my understanding would have been, I mean, we do have a high number of young people who are not participating in the mainstream economy, we're not participating in any economy in this country currently. We saw the statistics yesterday, shocking as they were, and we have you know, one of our good departments also overlooking women and those young people, even when you are not following supply chain processes. I think it's worrying, to say the least, and you know, would have ordinarily expected at least to say out of this 7 million or this 17 million of whatever amount of PPE, we're only going to consider obviously companies that has capacity, companies that can deliver, but who are only owned by youth and women and people with disabilities, to try and close the gap of that happened, you know, before. Because if you are doing competitive, they might have been slightly out, but on this one you could have just taken that decision that let's concentrate on this one. And I think maybe in future let's also think about that. we must empower those in the periphery, those who are known as the underdogs, you know, every opportunity we get. Now, more questions. I think this is on the fourth quarter. The 2020-2021 fourth quarter. According to Treasury's data that we have, you have underspent by almost 113 million rand, and you spend 98.4% of your 7.3 billion budget. Now the question is, has it been possible to roll over any of the unspent money of this 113 million rand to the 2021-2022 financial year? If yes, how much and where will it be spent? And if no, what are the reasons why could you not move some of this money to the 2021-2022 financial year? With regards to the underspending of Program 2, 4 and 5, you say it was mainly due to the provision of insufficient supporting documents and contract delays. That's what you said, CFO. And with regard to supporting documents, were the entities not aware of what evidence needed to be provided? Alternatively, is there any other explanation for the provision of this insufficient document? Because it can be that there are entities that are not giving supporting documents on time. They should know by this time which documents are needed for you to release some of these funds, because there was a point in one of your slides where you went through none of this money was spent, because you did not transfer it to the entities. It means the fault might have been on your side, or the fault might have been on the entities, you know, in providing sufficient documents, and want to understand that part. Did they not know what kind of documents they needed to submit, and what are the reasons given for not submitting those documents? And if you can just go through the entity by entity, if you don't have, you can just write it, give it to us in writing after the meeting. And then that problem in this financial year, how are you mitigating against that particular problem, where we have a situation where people will say no, or you will come and say no, we did not spend on this one because there were insufficient documents provided to us. How are you mitigating that in this current financial year? Because that was the first quarter of last financial year. And then the contract delays, what were the main factors that attributed to them? Again, how are you mitigating that in this current financial year? So that, you know, year in and year out, we don't hear the same issues that contract delays here. Next 4 years we hear contract delays. This financial year, how are you mitigating against some of these challenges of contract delays from the previous financial year? And then, this one I think you covered it. What is the department's current vacancy rate? And then which post will be given priority during the current recruitment processes? Your CFO, or your former CFO, was seconded to DIET during 2020-2021 financial year. And what is the status of that secondment? If you can just take us through that. And then moving on to the 2021-2022 financial year, first quarter financial year. I think this one, you are also talking about underspending with programs. It was mainly due to the effect of COVID-19 and contract issues or late processing of payments. Again, how are you mitigating against those? Then what factors informed the reduction of the department-funded posts from 470 to 457 in the current financial year? Which posts are now unfunded? Are these posts permanently lost, or are they just freezed for now, or frozen for now? You know, this score is sharp. And then, I think that will be all. No, there's one. The last one. you know, since the beginning of the sixth parliament, I think we've, on the DSI side, we have met one entity called CIA more often than the rest. So I just want them to give us a progress that they can report, any kind of progress in relation to the review of CIA, if they have anything. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Sibiya. Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Left with one question. I'm just checking under utilization for economic development, which criteria was used to identify these farmers trained? And I don't know whether Dia and Dibane is from Eastern Cape. And what about other provinces? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibiya. Those are the hands that I see up at this point in time. I hope we members are covered. I just want to share that the question that Honorable Mananiso raised with regards to the district development model, I think is so essential, and colleagues will respond, but I also think it also speaks to, you know, the fact that we will be also receiving a briefing by the DSI, I think, on the 7th of September on how the department will support the district development model. So I really look forward to, I think whatever response that colleagues will be giving us today will be a teaser, you know, will be a trailer to, that particular briefing that will take place on the 7th of September. And then I just wanted to say something, you know, with regards to this matter around intersectionality and representation and having a really inclusive, like, science and innovation department and sector at large. I think, you know, the moment we realize that it's not enough for, so if I were to speak on men, it's not enough for men to know that they have male privilege and that it's important for us to have an inclusive society. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Honorable Lizzie and them go on and on, even in the various spaces of which we get to discuss politics. You know, men sound like people who understand the importance of having representation, and they can quote, they themselves can even quote feminist theory and ideology and. But essentially what then becomes important is us not to rely on the consciousness and the, you know, the recognition and understanding of ourselves, by ourselves, of the importance of representation, but to ensure that it is part and parcel of our planning, that we are intentional about how, you know, whatever we speak about representation finds translation in existence within our plans as a department, you know, and we have clear set targets and goals. Otherwise, it's futile. So when we say that, you know, we are working towards you know, increasing the representation of persons living with disabilities, it's not enough. We need to be able to say, you know, this is our target, this is what we have to date, this is our target, and then be able to monitor and evaluate our progress with regards to that. So I think I'd just like to remind us that, you know, we really need to be intentional about how we speak about representation, be it, you know, matters relating to gender, race, age, and so forth. Even demographics, I think we've mentioned before that it's very important that the opportunities that are made available by the department are not opportunities that are only made available in our city centres, you know, in your Gauteng, KZN, Cape Town, to make sure that there are opportunities in Mpumalanga, in the Northern Cape, in Limpopo, at Univen, at Forte, not only at UP and UCT. So I think, you know, we really need to caution ourselves, particularly in moments like this when we're engaging with reports of this nature, from talking very casually about strides. I mean, I think, you know, even when we spoke about the vacancies, gradually they'll be filled. And what is gradually? Does gradually have time frames. So I think we just need to be cautious when we're doing this kind of work that speaks to the monitoring and evaluating of the work of the department from speaking very casually about the work that we're doing. So having said that, DDG Patel, I think I'd like to hand over to you to then respond, and then we'll move over to DHET. Thanks, DDG.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to Honourable Manamiso, Desi, and Sipia for the questions. I think some of them are intersecting. So what I'm going to do is just go through what I picked up as questions, answer where I can, and then ask other colleagues to answer. And I think the comment made by both yourself and Honourable Desi about sending feedback in writing, I think in some instances we would need to do that because it's a level of detail that we may not be able to share accurately and completely now. We'll give some signals in that regard, but we will capture this in writing and send it through. So on the first set of questions around the decadal plan, I think it's noted, and including the comment emphasized again about the need for an active process of external consultation. I will ask DDG Zwane to just give an indication of where we are on the decadal plan, and then hopefully we can send through formal correspondence in terms of a process of external consultation, when can that start, etc., and how would we engage in that process of external consultation together with the portfolio committee. So I think that is DDG Zwane can highlight. And I think we also acknowledge the comment you made that we need to move with speed, but we also need to do the study. My own view is that, you know, online platforms have really helped in that regard because you can convene things a lot more quicker with a diverse set of audience. And I think the inclusion for me, the Presidential Commission on Climate Change, is in fact some very, very important lessons that are coming out of that, where they've really opened up the process of consultation. And maybe we can derive some lessons around that. But I'll ask DDG Zwane to just speak a bit more about the decadal plan and where we are. Thanks to all of the members who've acknowledged the work we've been doing. It's always welcome, but we always take it that it's part of what we need to maintain. And then the additional questions are things that we need to move on. The mRNA hub, unfortunately, I don't see any of my colleagues from Program 2 or the health colleagues who are here specifically. So I would again suggest that we come back to you in writing around that work. The sense I got is what are we doing in the vaccine development space, and we can do that. The drivers of unrest, I think that's an important point. We did have an initial engagement with our entities and including the NIHSS, which is under the Department of Higher Education, funded by the Department of Higher Education and Training. As part of our overall work of the what we call the National Policy Data Observatory and really strengthening our understanding of the social and economic drivers, not just of unrest, but what's happening in our country. We did, DG facilitated an initial engagement with the entities, trying to get them to pull together a kind of the existing evidence, and then also indicating to us what needs to be done. We have identified the need to work a lot more closer with this group of researchers to shape a much more structured agenda around this. So that is work in progress, and I think at some future point in time, maybe at our second quarter feedback, we can give a progress update, because it is something that we're trying to pull together, both in the short term to advise almost immediately, but also in the long term to understand in a much more rigorous way, in a scientific way, the determinants of this and what can be done to get us there. Some of it is obvious, but we might need to have some quantification of that. I note the comment on insufficient documentation. I'll try to address this, but again ask whether Didi Chizwane or Chief Director McCullough can make a comment on this. I think the insufficient documentation needs to be built up. I think the key point being made is that were the entities aware of the documentation? My initial answer, just based on my experience with my own program, is that over time, yes, this has been highlighted to the point where in some of our programs we've also agreed with our entities on the format of reports and what we want in the reports, etc. But sometimes the insufficient documentation relates to, say, a new project as an example that we're initiating, not an existing project where the documentation is clear. In that instance, we would send direct proposals by people and say, you know, give us more detail around this. We're not too confident that you can implement as you say you would implement. But then there's also ad hoc issues that come up, as an example, with the measures that have been introduced by our department as a whole and largely driven by a finance section, we've become a lot more robust over time with the kind of documentation we require. So we don't just accept a letter to say, for example, part of the reason why they were not able to spend a certain amount of funding is because, you know, there were delays in the procurement process. We want evidence of that as we have to account to the portfolio committee, we exercise in that kind of diligence. So it's a bit of both. They know what they require for standardized processing. Most of the grants don't affect this, but in some instances it's more that in a particular project we may want to dig in a bit further. And I know in my case, most of the insufficient documentations were not related to standardized, like quarterly reports or the financial information was not adequate, because we've corrected that over time. It's more a case that we want to dig into very specific issues that were of concern to us. But again, I will ask the monitoring, the PPGME colleagues to add on to what I said. The vacancy rate and the status of the DDG program 4, I would rather suggest that we reply to those in writing. The DG and the HR colleagues have information around that can be shared. I can't see anyone on the call. I was trying to see if I could get someone from our HR section, but in the absence of being able to do that, I think it would be best to provide that in writing. The CFO secondment, I think people are aware that the CFO was now appointed at the DHET. So my understanding is that it's DDG McQuena can provide additional information around this, is that the secondment ended because it's a full-time post now, and she's become the DHET. And what we have to do on our side, and it's part of our discussions around the post to prioritize is to then fill the post of the CFO on our side to go through those processes. But I will ask Virginia Quinn to see if she wants to add on anything to that. On the regulations, IKS regulations, I'm not too sure if Takalani, who's representing Program 4, can provide any further feedback on that.
Yes, Ibrahim, yeah. I'll be able to, yeah.
All right. Let me just go through this, and if people can take their notes, and then I will come to it, and then he can answer that question. I think the key one that came up a couple of times is this issue of intersectionality and being able to represent data, not only represent the data, but be a lot more purposeful about targeting priority demographics. I think we take that on as a challenge. I have raised this. I've been assigned by the department to facilitate the process to enhance our transformation framework. We have a broad framework that is really getting into the details. We just had our third meeting yesterday with our entities, and as members were speaking, I was in fact doing some sketches on how to even visualize the data in a way that makes sense. I think it's sometimes the challenge when people have to present this data, and I know this because at one point in time I was part of a governmental process where we were looking at how to target different groups, and it became quite difficult and messy when you're trying to factor in a picture or in a table, you know, five dimensions: young people, women, demographic, population groups, rurality, class. It becomes quite difficult, but it's not something that can be dealt with. I have seen some very, very useful ways in which people share and present data, and it's my intention as part of the transformation task team work to see whether we can really use innovation in data analytics and visualization for some of our own work. So hopefully, Chair and others, you would see some progress in that regard over time, but I think almost immediately if there are any particular areas of concern, as you have raised, for example, around our COVID procurement, then I would ask the finance colleague, Robert, to just give a bit of an indication around that that area, and why weren't we able to be a lot more targeted to some of the priority groupings. Chair, you mentioned the DDM, and I was going to make the same comment that we do for a full briefing. The person who's leading that work on the side of DSI was working on the presentation, in fact, yesterday for sign-off to you. So I think we would do that fully. But just the one issue that was raised around the selection of municipalities. What we've done was, and we will present more information around this, a major intervention currently, and we're getting significant funding through something called sector budget support from the EU. We adopted an open call for proposals approach. So we wrote and we had a workshop with all of the municipalities, and they needed to then make submissions on whether they would want to take this forward. That gets us away from the risks and potential challenges associated with selection in these broad-based projects. But we also have the particular districts where the minister and others have been assigned as champions, and then we work in that context with issues that come up during those discussions. But some of this we will present. We've made quite a lot of progress in terms of a data system as well. We now have a good, not a complete, but a fairly good database of all initiatives that have a spatial footprint and where they are, and what we're now doing is trying to
Ms. Imam?
And I think, again, we can send an update in writing. Immediately following the report that you saw, which I think we also saw and had a quick engagement on our WhatsApp group. The UJ replied almost, in fact, they replied very speedily. I was looking at their press release. And their press release then provides a lot more detail about where things are at in terms of recovering the funding, and some of it has been sent to the Hawks for further investigation. But that report provides some of the detail that I think, Honorable Letsi, you may answer some of your questions around that. And then I think we spoke about the rollover. I think, Robert, you can quickly answer. I think we haven't received a positive response to the rollover request, and we're adjusting. Over the last 2 days, I've been working with Robert to adjust some of it as it applies to my program, so he can provide further information. I think I've answered some of the evidence issue contract delays, but in case people want some other information. Unfunded post, we will cover in terms of our formal submission to you. And then the TR review has been completed. A report was presented to the department about 2 weeks back. And at the moment, we're processing that report in consultation with the minister on how we want him to move forward. So hopefully in the next 4 weeks, we'll be able to give a lot better sense of the next steps following the receipt of the TR review report. And then on the criteria used to identify farmers, I'm not again sure. We will have to come back to Honorable Sibiya once the relevant program has been able to document it, unless there's someone from program 2 years who can answer that question immediately. So in summary then, DDG Zwane, can you provide additional information around the decadal plan and around this issue of insufficient documentation and other performance-related issues if you have. And then I will ask DDG Mukwena to talk about issues around HR, and then I will ask Takalani to speak about the regulations, Robert on some of the issues related to finance, and if people can just be short and sharp, and so that we can be we can keep to our time of 11 o'clock.
Thank you, DDG Patel. In terms of the decadal plan consultations, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we've made quite a stride in terms of consulting with as many departments as we can. It's been quite comprehensive within the government system. We've consulted with the science councils, we've consulted with Cohort, Foresight, and several other departments. Sometimes we had, in some instances, we have had to separate the consultation that is not in one meeting, depending on what we are looking for from that particular department. Our last consultation was with Treasury and the DPME, who are helping us with budget coordination and also in terms of monitoring the decadal plan. We acknowledge the fact that we still need to consult further with the other stakeholders, including private sector, but we thought let us maybe finish with in terms of being coherent as government first and taking a solid message to other stakeholders which are not within the public sector. And that said, where we are right now, we are finalizing the decadal plan internally, but also we had requested the presidency to advise us in terms of the establishment of an IMC on science and technology. And we've had feedback that we do not necessarily need that process to be led by the president, as we thought. So we are in a process of putting our heads together on the way forward and being assisted by the presidency in terms of when the IMC can be scheduled, which we were hoping it would be maybe late September, early October. So that is where we are as far as the Decatur plan is concerned. It is going through the critical readers, and then after that through specialized editing, and then it will be finalized. In terms of the entities not being aware of the documents required, I would ask Mr. Makola to come in there. But before that, I will want to also respond to the alignment of the priorities of the Decadal plan to that of the entities. Yes, the planning process has started and we are engaging with the entities. We have a scheduled a meeting with the chairpersons and the CEOs of the entities where the priorities will be communicated on the 3rd of September. May I then ask David to quickly respond to the question about the portfolio of evidence that was not submitted on time. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Thank you, DDG.
David, are you able to switch on your camera? I think that's the protocol.
Okay, I've switched it on. Sometimes I have difficulty because I think my screen is not properly aligned, but I hope you can be able to see me. Yeah, the part that the CEO spoke about, of delay payments and so on and so on, he will take care of it in terms of...
I think Mr. Marcola's, perhaps you have a camera cover, because it's still dark.
Is it? Hey, you know, Chair, I must confess, I'm unable to do anything about that. There's nobody here from IT who can assist me. So with your indulgence, may I just speak in that camera? And perhaps
fine. You can just switch off your camera then.
Okay.
Can we please just make sure that in the future we're prepared, even if you can just keep your camera on for the first 30 seconds and then switch it off so that your bandwidth is strengthened. But for purposes of today, we can just continue.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Mr. Moon?
The Western Cape, Cape Peninsula University, University of Technology, and then in Gauteng is the Gauteng Provincial Department of Sports, Arts and Culture and Recreation. KZN is the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo University of Venda. Mpumalanga is Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency. In the Northern Cape, it is the Sun Council. So I think those are the ones. So you will have seen that the delays there was actually almost all of them COVID related, but we have now put in place corrective measures, and I'm told that by the colleagues working on these that now I think a lot of those problems have been overcome.
I'm struggling
with the network for Mr. Dakalani, or was it everyone
who's struggling? No, Chair, I think it's all of us, and I was going to just suggest that...
Mr. Patel, you were going to suggest that?
No, sorry, I was going to suggest that Dakalani just takes off his video, if the bandwidth's a problem, and then conclude his response.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I'm not sure what maybe was not heard, Mr. Patel.
I think we got the response around the documentation centers and where the regulations are, but maybe you can just quickly summarize back on the documentation centers what has been established.
All right, okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so basically, the delays around the capturing of data from the documentation centers and then syncing that data with the national recorder system. So I think all of those delays, as you have seen in the report, were almost all of them COVID-19 related. So what we've done there is, we have had meetings with all of the documentation centers, and then I think the situation is returned to normal in most of them. So we hope that in this quarter, things will get back to normal, where as far as capturing of the data is concerned, and then as far as capturing of the legal agreements with the IK holders, again, that also had to do with the fact that you need to verify information with the various IK holders, and also that was also pretty much COVID related. So I think things are pretty much back to normal in those documentation centers, and with the relaxation of the COVID-19 restrictions, I think there will be more interaction. So I think DDG, I think those seems to be things that in the next quarter we should be back to where we want to be. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Tekalani. And then I think just in the interest of time, let's conclude with the acting CFO around some of the finance issues, including the rollover.
Thanks, DDG, and also thanks, Chair, and also thanks, members, for the comments that you have made. I will answer them, but not in the sequence that they were raised. The comment made by the Chair with regard to whether there is an overlap. Yes, Chair, is correct. There is an overlap. You will find that some of the SMMEs that we procure are both black, others are women, and others are, women and youth. So there is an overlap, Chair, with regards to the categories of the service providers we procure. With regard to the contract delays, we have developed a framework which stipulates the fees that the entities or the implementing agent can charge the department. Now the framework, it is still new, and there are instances where the implementing agent would indicate that the amount that we are prescribing are not sustainable. Then there will be discussions between the department and the implementing agent as to how can we go around that. So that has delayed some of the contracting processes that we had. So we have developed on the framework itself. The framework allows for a flexibility, which we did indicate to the entities, to say the framework allows for flexibility, but the flexibility is actually, it must be substantially motivated. If someone says the fees that are prescribed are not sustainable for them, they need to indicate to us in which way, and they must make a case for us to allow them to maybe use the previous rate that we have used or any different rate. So as a result of that, there was back and forth between the department and the implementing agencies. With regard to the delays where some of the information is not submitted, I have indicated that we are currently a bit strict on how the entities spend the budget that was initially sent to them. We have a problem, it's a problem that we have that we want to address, where you will find that an entity has transferred an X amount of money. And that amount of money, it keeps on coming, not being spent year after year. Every year when we ask questions, they will tell us the amount is committed. Now you cannot commit the amount that was earmarked for the current year or the year next year, the coming year. But you keep on saying it's committed year after year. So we said, now if you are saying the amount is committed, we need a tangible evidence. If you are saying there is evidence we have procured
let's say equipment, we need evidence. We want you to show us a purchase order which shows that indeed the amount was committed. So as a result of that, there is a back and forth between us and our programs, and including the entities. As DDG Patel indicated, that there is a robust process that we have introduced as finance. Through that robust process, we were able to identify funding, which helps us to address some of the issues that we are having in the department. Like the issue we've indicated, where we were not able to transfer money, I don't understand financially because of these contracting issues. There was a question about the rollover. The rollover was requested from the National Treasury, for particularly the one that we couldn't transfer, because those funds were committed. However, it was not approved by the National Treasury. We can only request a rollover in instances where funds are committed. If they are not committed, National Treasury does not approve. But not always that, even if it's committed, that they approve. Like the ones that we have applied, and they did not approve our request. This is through the process that I've indicated, we were able to identify funding. As I've indicated, I'm sure members would have seen in the slide that there is an IID that's got a overspending of 47 million. We have identified funding through that process to address that gap. So we are very strict currently. We want to minimize the amount of money that the entities are keeping. If they are not spending, we do not transfer. That is why now it is affecting our spending, you know, our spending plans. But it's better that we address it now rather than let it perpetually keep on rearing its head. So I just want to get rid of that. With regard to the procurement from human people with disability, and we just to address a concern by Honorable Lady, we follow procurement process, Honorable Lady. We do not compromise on that. Last year when the COVID started, I'm sure members would be aware that there was AG was asked to audit all procurement spend, whether it happened in the year that was under audit or in the year that day, 2021. All procurement audit was audited thoroughly in the department. We actually gave them 100% of all the documents that were COVID spent, and they did not find us wanting. So even this year, the same happened. They are auditing all procurement spend. So we ensure that all our procurement spend complies with all the rules, and then if it doesn't comply, any entity that does not comply with the rules, we do not consider. The reason we are having challenges in getting the number of youth as we would want is because there are not many companies of youth that can, you know, be able. Our work is kind of mostly we find that it's research related and stuff like that. We don't have many youth in that area, but it's one area that we'll see how we can, you know, perhaps from our side through the roadshow, see how if we cannot encourage people to venture in those areas so that going forward we are able to use such people. And then with regard to some of the questions I think BDG Patel has answered, and okay, the contract delays, how to mitigate. Okay, I have indicated the delays, and but to mitigate that, we do have a CFOs forum that we are having quarterly meetings with our CFOs, and then to tell them where our challenges are, and then how to ensure that going forward we don't have these challenges. But sometimes things fall through the cracks. For example, as Mr. Makola said, before finance can make payments, one of the rules that we have introduced to cap the spending or poor spending in the entities is that any project that did not spend 90% of the money that was initially allocated fund won't be transferred. So you'll find that sometimes we are saying we need, if they are giving us financial reports, we want it to be signed by a CFO or anyone, say for example, a general manager of finance or anyone who is at the right level. You will find that some of these things are signed by the researchers. That is why they cause a problem, because the financial reports that we get and the information that they send us, they won't reconcile. Then there will be that back and forth to say, this information is not correct, please correct. So those are some of the things that are creating the delays in us processing payment. But as I've indicated, we are having these meetings where we can indicate to the entities how they can help us so that we can be able to perform as we want, and also for themselves to get the money at the time that they want to get the money. And
And then
there was a question about the factor that led into the reduction of COE, but Diditi Patel said we will respond to that in writing. But generally, National Treasury just imposed cuts. I think all of us, we are aware of that. They just imposed cuts to all departments with regard to that. But they will just give a response as Diditi Patel had indicated.
Thanks, Robert. I think I think you've addressed all of the questions then, Chair and members. I hope we've managed to address as best as we can the questions, and we've made a list. DDG Zwane and I will just reconcile our notes and decide how to communicate that in writing, whether it's a single letter or it's a number of individual correspondence on some of the matters that we were not able to deal with effectively. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Patel, and to the delegation at large from the DSI. There are, I think the question that I feel from my side was not answered in the manner in which I perhaps would be of understanding to myself. But I think what we will do is that particular question that I had, we will forward it through the Secretariat. I think it was related to IKS. We'll forward it through the Secretariat because I think time is not on our side. And you will then add it to the responses that we will need. Honorable Itzia is also speaking to fewer funded posts. I think there's also a lack of well, you know, I don't want to say answered in the way in which we wanted it answered, but perhaps perhaps the kind of clarity that I think we needed, we did not receive. So I think members who feel as though there are a few questions that were not responded to adequately, I would really suggest that please do forward those questions now, while those matters are still fresh in mind, to the Secretariat so they can be forwarded to the DSI immediately, so that we can then get quicker responses from the DSI. I would like to suggest that the questions that we needed to be responded to in writing, if they could be sent to us by the morning of Friday, so that would be the 27th of August in the morning. I think that gives us sufficient time to get those responses. So if the written responses can be sent to us by the 27th of August in the morning. And then the recommendations, I mean, that will come out of our deliberations, I think have come from various members as they've made their remarks, you know, on matters relating to, for example, in representation, matters regarding the decadal plan, the district development model, and I think more thereof would come out from our next meeting, the conclusion and filling of vacant posts, matters that Honourable Lizia was speaking to now with regards to funded posts. So there's just a number of recommendations that have come out, and I hope that the Secretariat has been able to identify some of the recommendations that I might not be including now as I wrap up. Honourable members and colleagues, I think we can now, you know, conclude our session with the DSI. DDT Patel, thank you so much to you and your team for making yourselves available. I'd like to call for a body break of 5 minutes. So at 26 past 11, we will be back and continuing with the Department of Higher Education and Training. We have run over with the DSI, which is a good thing, because at times it comes across as though our deliberations with the DSI are usually very short. But I think today we had sufficient engagement, and not enough, seeing as we'd have to then have other responses reverted to members in written format. So we are pressed for time when it comes to our deliberations with DHET, but I think noting that the House only starts at 3 o'clock, we should be able to do justice to those engagements. So I think I'm eaten into your 1 minute, into members and colleagues' 1 minute, so I think you can return at 27 past, or rather 28 past 11. Thanks so much, DDG Patel.
Thank you.
What's the point of us coming at break? They could have been at class. Because they would often come.
Oh, too.
I remember that.